Now we're turning to the Gospel of Luke again tonight, and we're turning to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read the first 10 verses of the chapter. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let us now hear the reading of God's Word. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And they sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And may the Lord be pleased to bless that Bible reading to all of our hearts tonight, for Christ's sake. Amen. The must for the divine guest. The must for the divine guest. Now the story this evening before us is the story of two men. The first is introduced in verse 1. Notice how the chapter begins. And Jesus. And the man here is the Savior. And then it continues in verse 2. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he is a sinner. So the story before us tonight is about the Savior, and it is about the sinner. Now it's interesting that Zacchaeus is described here as the chief among the publicans, verse 1. And this is the only place in the New Testament where this title is used. No one else is called by this title. He is the chief of the publicans. And I find that deeply significant because the other man in the story is the chief among 10,000. So the Spirit of God is bringing these two individuals to our attention. The Savior, who is the chief among 10,000, and the sinner, who is the chief among the publicans. Now it's interesting to note that Christ met this man on his one and only visit to the city of Jericho. Now the significance of this is that Jericho had come under the curse of God from ancient times. It was utterly destroyed under Joshua's leadership when Israel entered into the Promised Land. And we all know what happened. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And the walls come tumbling down in this story. The walls of darkness, the walls of sin, come tumbling down when Christ came to Jericho. Remember, Joshua's name means Jesus saves, or the Lord saves. And here we find the Son of God coming now, and the barriers and the walls begin to fall in relation to Zacchaeus, the man who was the chief among the publicans. Now it was divinely declared that the curse of God would come upon anyone who would rise up and build the city of Jericho. And that solemn prediction came to pass in the days of Ahab, the king of Israel, when a man from Bethel named Hiel rebuilt Jericho, but at the expense of the terrible judgment of God upon his family. The curse of God most certainly did rest in this city. However, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world for the purpose of removing the general curse that had been caused by the fall of man into sin. Therefore, it would seem that he deliberately went to Jericho on this one occasion to prove that very point, that he is the remover of the curse. And I do believe that's why the Lord, in the providence of God, stopped off on Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, where he would die on the cross to remove the curse of sin. This is one of the last things that he did on his way up to the city of Jerusalem. He went there And they healed Bartimaeus from his blindness, and that caused a tremendous commotion in the city. Chapter 18, verse 35 onwards, a great crowd began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on that same occasion, he also dealt with Zacchaeus, performing a miracle of grace in his soul. He removed the blindness from his spiritual eyes. So there's a link here. There's a contrast here between the case of Bartimaeus and that of Zacchaeus. While they were both near Jericho, yet they were found at the extreme ends of the city. In chapter 18, verse 35, we're told, as he came nigh unto Jericho, that is the Lord, he came nigh unto Jericho. And then in chapter 19, verse 1, we're told, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, or it could be read, and I think it's a better rendering, as he was passing through Jericho. So as he entered the city, and as he exited the city, Christ dealt with these two individuals, meeting one as he entered the city and dealing with the other as he was about to leave the city, as he was passing through. The one was sitting by the wayside, and the other was perched up a tree. The one was poor, and the other was rich. The one had to get up to be saved, and the other had to come down to be saved. And I think that is deeply significant as well, because it shows that Christ is able to save to the uttermost heights of society as well as to the uttermost depths of society. But the one who is going to be the object of our message tonight is Zacchaeus. And here in the story, we find another significant Bible must. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus came to the tree where Zacchaeus was, and looking up into the tree, he saw the man perched there on one of the branches. And he announced to Zacchaeus, today I must abide at thy house. This is the must of the divine guest. And this is the only instance in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ invited himself to somebody else's house to be their guest, to be entertained by them. The only time in the Bible that ever happened. And it took place in Jericho, the place of the curse, the place where Jesus came to prove to people that he came to be the remover of the curse. Now, what do we know about this man, Zacchaeus? Well, let's try to find out just a few things before moving into the message itself. The first thing that I see here is that he was a sinful man. He is described here as the chief among the publicans, and they hadn't a very good reputation. And even the people who knew him best, and they didn't like him, by the way, because he worked for the hated Romans and he was the one who collected the taxes. When Christ invited himself into the home of Zacchaeus, they said that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 7. So that's the first thing that we notice about this man. He was a sinful man. But then something more comes to attention here in verse 3. He was a small man. That's what it means. He was little of stature. And the Bible says he couldn't see for the press. Now, when you read the press there, that's not referring to Channel 9 or Channel 6 or Channel 13. That refers to the crowd. He could not see the Lord Jesus Christ because he was small and there was a crowd. And because he was small and because there was a crowd, he could not see Jesus as he was coming down the street. So we've discovered two things. He's a sinful man, and then he was a small man. But then there's something more comes to attention here in verse 3. He was a seeking man because he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was curious. There had been a commotion, and the news was beginning to filter throughout Jericho. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He can see now. A man called Jesus just healed him down the road there a little bit. And here's this man, he's curious. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And then he was a surprised man. And when Jesus came to the place where he was, he thought he was being discreet. And here the Son of God is coming down the street with a crowd gathered around him, down to the very spot. And Zacchaeus thinks he's about to pass by. I'll get a good look at him now. But he was surprised because Jesus came to a standstill at the very bottom of the tree. And he looked up and he spoke to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus. So here was a man who was surprised at what he saw, Jesus standing down at the foot of the tree, and he was surprised by what he heard. Jesus called him by his name. How does he know my name? Did someone meet him down the way? Did someone see me coming up into the tree? Did someone tell him all about me? He was surprised. by what he saw, Jesus standing at the foot of the tree, and Jesus called him by his name. Jesus knew all about him. He was a surprised man. And then the amazing thing about the story is he became a saved man. For when Jesus spoke to him, he called him, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There's his haste. Jesus told him to hurry on. Don't waste any time. Make haste. Come down, for I must abide at thy house. So that was his haste and his humility. He came down. And then his happiness, because he came down and received him joyfully. Here was this man, and it is obvious to me that he was miserable. He had a lot of money. The Bible tells us he was rich. But he had no peace, he had no joy, he had no real contentment. Until that day he heard the voice of Jesus, and he humbled himself and he came down and he received him joyfully. So we learn these things about Zacchaeus, and we have a good idea, something of his character, something of his nature. But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. For the remainder of the service, I want to think about what happened after this. I want to think about what happened after he was saved, after he was converted, after he came down from the tree, and after he received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. The first thing that I see here is Zacchaeus is standing before the Lord. Notice what it says there in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood. Now I want you to underline that word, stood. This is interesting. Now prior to this moment, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree, verse 4. So when we are first introduced to him, he's running. But now he's standing. What has brought about the change? The focus here is on the word stood. Why was he standing? Because he had found what he had been looking for. He found peace through Christ that day. So we have this picture of the little man. I can see him there, lifting up the skirts of his garments, running down the street for all that he's able. He sees a good vantage point. He climbed up into the sycamore tree. He's running. He's seeking something. He hasn't found peace in the money that he has taken from people by fraud. But now he has listened to the voice of Christ. He has responded to the voice of Christ. And he comes down and he stands before Christ. I have found what I have been looking for. Now, while there is a reference here, of course, to his physical situation, it is nevertheless symbolic of the great change that had taken place in his life from the time of his conversion. And it summarizes that change. Before his conversion, he was not standing upright. He was a tax collector. He had defrauded his neighbors. He had taken money by false pretenses from the poor. He was not standing upright. He conducted himself in a most unsavory fashion and way. But now he's standing right. You think about his trade. He was a tax collector. Bad reputation. He was a sinner. People despised him. But thank God, he met with Christ at the tree. And there's a tree where we meet with Christ. It's the tree of Calvary. It's at the cross where the dear Son of God took our place and died for us, that we might be free from debt, that we might be free from our sins, that we might be delivered by the power of grace. Think about another man who met Jesus at the tree. In fact, he was on the tree beside Christ. He was a dying thief. Zacchaeus was a thief as well. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to bring the good tidings of the gospel to men and women just like Nicodemus, who was a righteous man, and Zacchaeus, who was a scoundrel, who was a rogue, who was a thief. And this man who was dying for his crimes on the cross beside Jesus, he was getting what he deserved. He didn't deserve mercy. He deserved what he was getting because he had broken the law. The law had caught up with him and the sentence had been passed, and he was getting what he deserved. And if we were to get what we deserved, we would go to hell forever. But instead of giving to us what we deserve, he comes to us in grace and he speaks from the tree to all who repent. And he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that dying thief, in the last closing moments of his life, repented of his sins and believed the gospel. He met Jesus at the tree. And then there was a man, we don't know his name, he was a centurion, a Roman centurion, and he was the one supervising things. He was the one who instructed the others who were with him to carry out this will of the governor. And as he stood there watching Christ dying on the tree, hearing what he prayed, hearing what he said, his heart was melted. And he said, truly this is a righteous man. And I'm of the opinion that that man found Christ at the foot of the cross. And he was gloriously saved. He met Jesus at the tree, you see. And that made the difference in that man's life. And a few centurions did trust in the Lord. And he met him at the tree. He stood there and he was influenced by what he heard and what he saw. Now that word stood describes a formal act as one who's about to make a solemn declaration. He identified himself with the Lord. He immediately took a stand for Christ. And I always found this when I was working, and I had a number of jobs before coming into the ministry. And after I started my new job, one of the first things I did was to let everybody know that I was a Christian. And I didn't have to do anything else because everybody else told the rest of the workers, this man's a Christian. So I took my stand and I told the people I was saved, and then it spread throughout the factory. So here's a man, he's just got saved, and he begins to take a stand for Christ. He took a stand for and with the Lord and a new way of life. Now at the beginning of the story, his social standing was questionable. But now his spiritual standing was now beyond dispute because he's standing before the Lord. He's standing with the Lord. He's standing on the side of the Lord. He's not ashamed now. He's been changed by grace. And he's now prepared to stand for Christ. And there's another way to look at this. He now had a perfect standing before God in Christ. He's now justified in his sight. He's declared righteous at the bar of God. Now he was not liked by the people. I mentioned this earlier from verse 7. The people said about Christ that he's gone to be a guest of a man that is a sinner. So he wasn't liked by the people, but he was loved by the Savior. And that's a wonderful thought. When the world despises us and hates us, we're loved by the Christ of the cross. He now had a perfect standing before God. He's now justified in his sight. The Bible says he received him joyfully. Verse 6. But there's a contrast with what we read in chapter 18, verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And that's a reference to the rich young ruler. So the rich young ruler, he went away and he was sorrowful. The Bible actually uses the word very sorrowful, because he rejected Christ. But Zacchaeus, he came down and received him joyfully because he had received Christ. And the verb received is deeply significant. It's an action verb denoting a once and for all act of receiving Christ. He received Christ. It happens once and for all forever. It never needs to happen again. It takes place in a moment of time. Now it's interesting that the name Zacchaeus means righteous or pure. But this supervisor of tax collectors was not living up to his name. He certainly wasn't righteous. And he certainly wasn't pure. He was not living up to his name. And his name is found three times in the story. Only three times in the Bible. And this is the only place, as I mentioned earlier, where a chief among the publicans is mentioned. He was a very prominent man, having been placed as the head of the entire tax district of Jericho. And there were three main Palestinian tax offices: Jericho, Capernaum, and then Caesarea. And we know of another man who was a tax collector, and his tax booth was there in Capernaum. His name was called Matthew. We know him as Levi, but he became Matthew, meaning the gift of God, because he received from Christ the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now the word behold is found twice in this 19th chapter. If you look at it again, look at what it says there in verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He's a renowned sinner. We know that about him. Then when you turn to verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. This is a remarkable statement. So the word behold draws attention to certain things. Would you look at this? Here's a renowned sinner. But here we have a remarkable statement. The first refers to the character of the sinner. And then the second, behold, refers to the change in the sinner. He was changed by the grace of God. Now the crowd had hindered this man. The crowd always hinders men getting to Christ. But the Christ helped this man. Now, when you think of this story again, when you think of Zacchaeus going to that particular sycamore tree, and he climbs up into the sycamore tree. This man was the man up the tree. But then, when you turn to chapter 23 of Luke, verse 33, we read about a man on a tree. The man up the tree was seeking after Jesus, but the man on the tree was suffering for Zacchaeus. Adam was the man behind the tree. Nathaniel was the man under the tree. But always remember, Christ was the one who died on the tree. So this man, Zacchaeus, did a surprising thing. He ran. Now, it wasn't a dignified thing for a businessman in those times to run. But you know, when you trace that theme throughout the Bible, you read about Abraham running over there in the book of Genesis. He lifted up his eyes one day as he was sitting there in the door of the tent, and he saw three individuals coming in the distance. And one of those individuals was identified as Christ. He ran to provide the fatted calf. He ran to serve Christ. I think about other people in the Bible who ran. The father in Luke chapter 15 ran out to welcome home the prodigal son. And the father running is a type of God going out to welcome sinners. Now, I've mentioned before, it wasn't a dignified thing for seniors to run, but this man ran out with urgency to welcome back the boy from the far country. Peter and John ran on the resurrection day to the tomb. Philip ran for God in the book of Acts. So you can trace some of these individuals in the Bible who ran. This was a surprising thing. He's running. But then he did the strange thing. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. He did the strange thing. And then he did the sensible thing. He came down and he received him joyfully. So we see this man, after his conversion, he's standing before the Lord. But then the second thing we notice here is Zacchaeus is speaking to the Lord in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood. That's okay. We've dealt with this. He's standing now. He's got a perfect standing before God. But then notice what it says next. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. So here we have recorded the first words that he spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first time, as far as we know, as far as the record is concerned, that he ever spoke to Jesus, and he called him Lord. This was surprising, indicated by that word, behold. I've mentioned this already. Note that it was Jesus who first spoke to him, by the way. For when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, the Lord initiated the conversation. And now this is Zacchaeus' response to the Lord. So the Lord speaks to us in mercy and in grace. And once we receive him joyfully, then it opens up the door of opportunity for us to speak to him as our Savior. So he was speaking to the Savior, his Savior, for the first time. Remember Saul of Tarsus. He met with the Lord there on the Damascus Road. The word that was given to Ananias was, behold, he prayeth. Who's he praying to? He's talking to a Savior now. Behold, he prayeth. He's talking to God. He's been changed by grace. He's been saved by grace. And now he's beginning to talk to his Redeemer. We're saved by the grace of God that we might speak to him. He called him Lord. So keep it in mind, Jesus took the initiative. It wasn't Zacchaeus. But once the Lord spoke to Zacchaeus, then he began to speak to the Lord. How did Zacchaeus know about the Lord? Well, I mentioned this earlier. Remember Levi, who sat there in the toll booth in Capernaum? The Lord Jesus Christ stopped by that day as he was busy with his pen, counting up the profits he had made for that day. I don't think that he was any different from the rest of the tax collectors. And the Lord Jesus said to this man, follow me. And Levi left his books behind, and he began to follow Jesus. And what did he do? He prepared a great banquet for his friends. I wonder, did he invite Zacchaeus to come along? I wonder, was that how Zacchaeus heard about Jesus? Why did he want to see him? We don't really know, but it is possible maybe that Levi, on having received Christ, shared his faith, his newfound faith, with his friends. Because Zacchaeus could have traveled up from Jericho, it wouldn't have been a problem. Maybe it was there that they heard Christ for the first time. And the Lord took Levi, gave him a new name called him Matthew. And the Lord said, Matthew, the pen that you used in the toll booth office, I want you to put it to good use now. I want you to write the first book of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? The Lord dealt with this man in mercy and in grace. He called him from a sinful lifestyle. He called him from that particular tax office. He called him to faith. And the Lord said, I want you to write. I want you to use the talents that you have. And he had a talent. And that was displayed there in the tax office. He was good with figures. He was good with books. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you a job to do. I want you to write the Gospel of Matthew. Put your name down there. Put your name to it. Tell the world your story. Tell the world how you met with me. Tell the world something of the change I brought in your life. Tell me the story of Jesus. And Matthew wrote down the story of Jesus. And he began with his birth. He told about his miracles and his messages. And then he told about his death. He told about his burial. He told about his resurrection. And that's what the Lord can do by his grace. And Matthew began to talk to Jesus. And Jesus began to call him to this service. The Lord called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus came down. He began to follow Jesus. He began to speak with him. So the first time we see Zacchaeus, he's on the road. Then we see him up the tree. And then before the story ends, he's found in the house. We're traveling to the Father's house simply because we met him at the tree. We heard his voice. He called us to salvation, and we began to speak with him. We began to pray. We began to worship the Lord, our righteousness. Now notice what they said in verse 7. I'm talking about the people who knew him best in Jericho. I've mentioned this before. This is what they said about the tax collector. This man is a sinner. So what they said was critical of this man. And no doubt critical of what the Lord was doing for this man. It was criticism. What they said. But then notice what he said in verse 8. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. So it seems to me that he is admitting that he had been involved in fraud. There's no doubt about that. I restore him fourfold. So what do we see here? What do we see in what this man said? I see compassion. I see a changed man. This greedy man has been changed. This grasping man has been changed by grace. And he's prepared to give to the poor. He had robbed the poor. And he was prepared to give away all these things that he promised the Savior he would do. He didn't say, I may do it. He says, I will do it. Because he'd been changed by grace. So what they said, it was criticism. What he said, it was compassionate. And then what Jesus said in verse 5, 9, and 10, what Jesus said was comforting. Christ said various things designed to comfort and assure him. And if you look there at the final words of verse 5, Zacchaeus, the Lord knew his name, make haste and come down, for today, this day, not tomorrow, today, I must abide at thy house. And that word abide means remain. Just not concerning Christ's visit that day, but I will remain with you constantly by my Spirit. And you'll never be alone again. Doesn't matter what people say about you. Doesn't matter how they castigate you. I will never leave you now. I've come to abide not only in your home for the day. I don't know how long he stayed. It could have been a short time. It could have been a lengthy period of time. We're not told. It doesn't really matter. But I have come to abide. Yes, I've come to stop off in your home. But I have come to abide in your life. So this man's heart had been opened by grace, and then when his heart was opened by grace, his home was opened by grace. I have come to abide with you. And he was a Jew. He was a son of Abraham, but the Lord tells us here that because salvation has come to this house, for inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham, now he's referring to a spiritual relationship with Abraham. Yes, he was a Jew, and that made him a son of Abraham, physically. But that doesn't save. But what happened that day there in the city of Jericho, as Christ was passing through, made him a spiritual heir of Abraham, a child of the king, a child of God. He therefore was brought into the family of God. So this assured this man, this comforted Zacchaeus, I'm abiding with you. You're now a spiritual son of Abraham. You're part of the family of God. That made the difference. A short time after leaving Jericho, the Lord Jesus Christ was found in the city of Jerusalem. They cried, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," as he entered into the city, riding upon the colt of the ass. And they welcomed him. They rejoiced over him. But how things changed so quickly. Then the moment came early that morning. He went forth bearing his cross. He continued on out to the scene of the cross. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He was giving his life for Zacchaeus. He was shedding his blood for Zacchaeus. He was dying to atone for the sins of Zacchaeus, the man who had been described by his fellow man as a sinner. But the man who had responded to Christ that day when he heard the voice and he came down and received him joyfully. Christ died for Zacchaeus. Christ died for his sheep. He died to bring many sons to glory. So here's a comforting thought. Jesus knew who he was, Zacchaeus. Jesus knew where he was up the tree. And Jesus knew why he was there. And the Lord knows who you are, where you are, and why you are who you are. He knows everything about us. Finally, Zacchaeus is showing to the Lord. So he's standing before the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord. And now he's showing something to the Lord as well. Now what did he show the Lord? We're not given any details of the interview that he had with the Lord, with Jesus. But now we see the results of that interview. Zacchaeus became a changed man. His whole life was transformed as a result of that moment of time. Isn't that truly amazing? That all that man's sinful past disappeared in a moment of time. The sinful life that he had lived, the transgressions and the iniquities to his account were forgiven that moment of time when he listened to the voice of Christ and he obeyed the voice of Christ and he humbled himself and he made haste and came down. He was changed by grace, never to be the same man again. And if this element of change is not found in a person who professes to be a child of God, then I think we've got to question that man or that woman's the reality of their faith. He begins to think differently now. He begins to act differently now. He begins to speak differently now. He had been changed by grace. His heart is radically changed. And then the story so far, we have read of him running, verse 4. We have read of him receiving, verse 6. We have read of him being redeemed, in verse 6 as well. But now, in verse 8, we read about him restoring. For he said, "Half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore." So he's now giving. Before he was getting, but now he's giving. Before he is deceiving, but now he is restoring. He's giving back to these people that he had frauded. He's giving them back. With a bonus, if you like. And he's giving to the poor, to the people who had nothing. They didn't have social security way back then. And many people abuse social security these days. They don't want to work. It wasn't this kind of people that he was giving the money to. It was to the poor people who had nothing, who couldn't work because of disease or sickness, whatever it was. Here we have the evidence of genuine repentance. What an illustration this is of what the Lord can do for us. Now, there was a colony of priests who lived in Jericho. These were descendants of Aaron, but they did not invite Jesus into their homes. They did not want to entertain him, but that was left up to the man who had received Christ, and Christ invited himself in. But he didn't object, of course. And he says, "If I have taken anything, or whatever I have taken, according to the Old Testament law, if a person cheated someone, he must make restitution in full and add 20% of what he had taken." Leviticus 6 verse 5. "And if a person stole from his neighbor, he must pay back double restitution." Exodus 22. Now, according to Roman law, a tax collector who wrongfully confiscated goods had to restore double the value. And if force was used, a threefold restitution had to be made. And Zacchaeus offers to go far beyond the demands of both the Old Testament law and the Roman law. He offers four times that amount. This is a change. This greedy little man is now giving his money away. Grace makes the difference. "Behold," or "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." He speaks of the present tense. "I'm giving it now." He doesn't say, "I will give." Rather, he says, "I restore it now." He's a new man, you see. This man's changed. And he's giving it away with a smile on his face. I'm giving to the poor. I'm restoring this fourfold. Grace has changed my heart. I'm a changed man. Now he's living up to his name, you see. And the words indicate that he is the righteous one. Zacchaeus was very determined to see Jesus because he ran and climbed up into the tree. But he was also very determined to serve Jesus. And he was showing that. I'm a changed man. He was a greedy man, but then he became a generous man. The Lord would never pass this way again. The countdown was on to Calvary. He only had about, say, 20, 25 miles to go up to the holy city. Soon he would be drenched with blood. Soon he would be paying a price. Soon he would be giving his all. I wonder, did Zacchaeus make it up to Jerusalem? I wonder, did he join in that band of believers who rallied around Christ as they followed him up to the holy city? I wonder, did he get there? I wonder, did he stand in the shade of the cross? Did he weep when he saw the Son of God who had saved him by grace dying in his place on the cross? But if he didn't make it up literally, we know that he made it to the cross by faith. So this is the story about two men, a man called Jesus and a man called Zacchaeus, the sinner and the Savior, the chief among the publicans and the chief among 10,000. And thank God Christ became the chief of 10,000 to Zacchaeus that day when he responded to the call of Christ and came down and received him joyfully. So we have looked at a number of simple things here. Zacchaeus is standing before the Lord. Zacchaeus is speaking to the Lord. And Zacchaeus is showing to the Lord something. I have been changed on the inside. And it's manifesting itself now on the outside. He was saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in the words of verse 10, wonderful words, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the simple message of the gospel. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll close now in prayer.